Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the worlds of innovation, business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlan Iso, and today we're joined by two new label mates to join the roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello, everyone. We're saying hello and welcome to John Moore, a trusted transformation leader, author, and former Big Four principal. He helps organizations navigate complex change with bold strategy, sharp clarity, and real results. Hi, John. Also, hello and welcome to Ian Hunter, an impact-driven advisor and global innovation strategist. He helps ventures grow responsibly, shaping strategy, refining position, and building partnerships that align a purpose with progress. Hello, Ian. With the return to office debate back in full swing, we've seen some protests, we've seen some new mandates, these rising tensions. Leaders are now facing this sort of pivotal question, is there a one-size-fits-all model? As a leader, how do you determine which working model really kind of serves your team? What are the things that we should be looking at when it comes to what the best model for your team is? And John, I think this probably...
Well, in my case, that's actually quite easy to answer because my team is a team of one.
So. Well, there you go. That's me. So it is, remote, and in person, all at once.
But what I will say is that because I tend to work mostly from a home office, when I'm working with a new client, a new person, a new mentee, a new coachee, I insist on a face-to-face meeting because nothing ever replaces the chemistry, you know, that you get in that one-to-one meeting. And then all too often, people actually prefer to meet face-to-face. Oh, it's just much nicer meeting over a cup of coffee and talking about whatever you're discussing and working on a particular strategy or whatever it might be, rather than remotely, because I think a lot of people find working remotely very lonely. Mm-hmm. Now, there are others that perhaps have only ever had that experience and don't quite understand or appreciate or know what the joys and otherwise of working in an office environment are, the good, the bad, and the ugly of that. I don't think there's any perfect circumstance. I think it's a very, very much an individual thing. It depends on the organization, the size of the organization, the work that organization does. It's impossible to generalize.
100%.
Yeah, if I could add to that on remote, hybrid, and in person, being in consulting for so long, every engagement has had a combination of all of that. So if you've been in a consulting career, it's a no-brainer. That you know how to already operate in that. But especially like when COVID came around and some other things, a lot of the jobs were sent to remote that really needed to be redesigned. A lot of these jobs, a lot of these individuals are really reporting to leaders who had a real problem with trust, right? And so it's a lot easier to see people sitting at a desk in the office, but oh my God, they're at home now. I can't keep tabs on them. I don't have any performance metrics. I don't have weekly goals anymore. And so a lot of times, especially the people I talk to that were now in remote, it's like the job wasn't redesigned. It didn't have the metrics. It didn't have the weekly goals. It didn't have a leader who could trust. And there were some really real big things that were missing, and they struggled, right? They really struggled with this. And so then trying to go back, right, you're trying to go back now to work with those same leaders who probably didn't treat you that well when you were in remote. And it's a real good opportunity to be able to look at the processes that you're performing, how they align with the strategy, what your job description says, how your performance is going to be measured, you know, things like that, how feedback is provided. I think it provides a real good opportunity to really re-examine all of this and really decide, when do I really need to be in front of these people and when don't I? You know, a good example is when you sell work to clients, they don't have to keep paying to fly you back and forth every week and put you in hotels and rental cars and food and per diem. And, you know, you go there when you meet them, you establish trust in a relationship, and then you fly back home, you do your work remotely. But when you need to be there, whether it's for quarterly reviews or certain types of workshops or whatever, where you have to be in person, you know, it shows that you're also trying to keep the client costs at a minimum, right? Yep. And so I think being able to look at that, it's, you know, it's a cost equation, it's trust, it's how the jobs are defined. It's a real opportunity to be able to look at that. And, you know, we can certainly help clients go through that analysis.
So yeah, you're absolutely right, John. It's absolutely a case of like, what is the least wasteful way of going about it? And it's, I find, again, like you're saying, so many people see it as a binary thing. And you hear more and more of these stories of like big companies. This is always one that always gets thrown around in the news, of like big companies being like, right, that's it, everyone's coming back, whether you like it or not. Instead of treating it as like they can have an opportunity to save on costs, for example, by saving on people, you know, commuting or coming in of their own accord and such. And yeah, I think a flexibility of all three is exactly the right move, in my mind anyway.
I mean, if you think about, you know, some workers, they spend an hour on the road getting to work. They spend an hour, hour and a half looking for a place to have lunch and eat it and get back to work. Then you got another hour going back. You look at, you know, a possible three and a half hours that are completely wasted by them showing up at the office, when you could get that kind of extra productivity out of them if they were working at home and if they were working those same hours, right? So anyway, there's a lot of things to consider. And I think really just being able to figure out what's working, what's not working, but put a plan together, right? Mm-hmm. Understand the history. Where have you been with the working model? Where are you now? Where do you want to go? And then how are you going to get there, right? Some fundamental questions to ask. Put the plan together, and it's not going to be one size fits all, right? It's going to be different, you know, different solution, maybe by department or, you know, by location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's maybe even like a little bit of ego, like you mentioned in the last topic, where it's like some people see it as like, one, because they've never experienced that before and how they manage that. And like, maybe they see it as like, I don't have control over them, like you're saying, as an example. And then you throw on top of that all of the different articles, like the Wells Fargo fiasco of like people using mouse jigglers and that sort of thing. That can really sort of create that sort of scarcity or scared sort of attitude to it, of like, what are they doing versus the, what can I save on time that they could be using elsewhere? Like you say,
Josh, it's interesting you should use that expression about mouse jigglers, because I had exactly that situation with a client just recently. One of the team had some sort of dongle in their laptop, and they were doing exactly that, and sort of navigating that was very interesting, to say the least. But we got through it. Tricky.
Yeah, it's a shame that like a bad apple or two can sort of derail that whole movement. Yeah.
So I think that's also one of the things is that often kind of gets left out of the conversation, is the tools that are needed for the situation to make it work. So if you're going fully remote, do you have the adequate tools in place to make that work? If you're hybrid, do you have the tools in place? And a lot of the times people go, we're just returning to office, or we're going fully remote, without thinking of what are the base things we need to have in place that we continue to have systems where we can check in on each other, we can have collaboration, we can do all of those things. So you're not missing out on the aspects of in office or remote working. And that looks different for everyone. I think that's what people kind of also feel like there's a one size fits all. So everybody kind of goes out the box with this sort of, you know, this is the product management system we're using. We're not going to explore anything else. This is the messaging. Yeah. We're just sticking inside one system. Without sort of looking at what the team really needs.
It's funny you mentioned tools. It's good to keep in mind that one of those tools is money, right? So you've got remote workers that are returning. Now all of a sudden their costs are going up, right? You got costs of fuel, the maintenance on, you got the tires, you've got, now they need a babysitter for the children, whereas they didn't have it before. Now they can't just go to the fridge and make something. Now they're going out to eat or whatever for lunch. I mean, there's a lot of additional costs that come in, and you can see some of that pushback where people are used to maybe saving a bit more money. Even cleaners, you don't have to go get your business shirts done or your suits dry cleaned or whatever. All these costs are adding up. It's like there's a reluctance to want to go back. You know, they had it a lot easier. And now it's like, oh my God, it's not just that, it's the money too.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. I was asked to do an audit recently, about a year ago, actually, for a global agency, and they wanted to get an understanding exactly what we're talking about, what people felt about working independently from home, And it largely depended on the age of the people I was speaking with. For those more seasoned people, they seemed to just get on with it and it was fine. The younger people who were pretty new to the agency world and hadn't had an awful lot of training necessarily or exposure to working practices and that direct contact with people, for many of them found it quite distressing and very, very lonely. So they'd be sitting possibly in their bedroom because there was no other place in their flat that they could sit, working with a very difficult client or range of clients. They really didn't speak to anybody at all day other than the client interface. So that, I would suggest, is far from optimal.